And I pray that every one of us will be there. Are they hear you?
Yeah.
And will be richly blessed in Jesus' name. And so tonight we're having a message related to our hope, which is feasting after the fasting. Your period of fasting getting over.
Yeah.
Hope arising for you.
Yeah.
Hope arising for your family.
Yeah.
Hope arising for the church.
Yeah.
You will see what you have never seen.
Yeah.
Hear what you have never heard.
Yeah.
And the touch of the Lord will be mighty in every life in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
In my own life. I said in my own life, the touch of the Lord will be mighty in Jesus' name. The Lord will bless you. And then we invite newcomers. We invite new people. And the publicity that started, long ago, but then came to a climax on Sunday. Were you there on Sunday? Ah, look at him. It wasn't there. How many of you were there? Wonderful. I knew you will be there. And all your efforts, the Lord will bless in Jesus' name. Let's still keep on following up. Let's keep on saying the same thing, telling the people, and making arrangement for them when we get to the retreat ground. It's going to be a wonderful time. As people are entering the retreat ground, everywhere, not only Lagos here, power will come upon their lives. Were you here during the retreat of power as of old? There are a lot of new leaders there. How many of you were here? Power as of old is coming again. I said it's coming again. It will come upon our lives in our own time in Jesus' name. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you tonight and bless your name. We thank you because of the glorious things we are going to do. We're expecting, Lord, that this retreat will not just be a usual, normal, run-of-the-mill retreat in Jesus' name. Visit your people. Touch our lives. Do great things in the life of everyone, even at this retreat in Jesus' name. As of old, when people got really saved, as of old, when we can refer to retreats and were sanctified. As of old, when we're baptized in the Holy Ghost. As of old, when great, great miracles, unforgettable miracles happened. Lord, we're praying this will be another time of refreshing in Jesus' name. Showers. Showers. Showers of blessing upon all your people. In every place, the retreat will be held in Jesus' name. But thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
That's good, but say another one before you sit down.
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm reading from verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Here Paul the apostle said, I planted, Apollos also watered, but then ultimately it is God that gives the increase, that gives the fruit, that gives the multiplication, and gives the profit, and gives the progress as well as the growth. Look at verse 7. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. It says, whoever we are, God is going to use us. He will use you. He will use me. He will use Paul, Apollos, and all of us together in Jesus' name. But it says, we shouldn't think too much about ourselves, too much about me, or too much about you, but about God that giveth the increase. Now verse 8. He that planteth and he that watereth are one. That is, he that planteth and he that watereth, there must be unity. There must be fellowship. There must be love. There must be togetherness. There must be connection between us. That is, one is preaching, the other one is watering, the other one is interceding, the other one is ministering any other way. All of us who minister to the people of God, whether you minister from the pulpit or you're ministering from the congregation, it says there must be unity because we're walking together with God. He that planted and he that watereth are one, are united. We synchronize everything that we're doing so that there's no division, there's no contradiction, and there is no opposition. We're all working together. And it says, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. You will not serve in vain. For we are laborers together with God. It says we. It's not just talking about Paul. Yes, Paul. Not just about Apollos. Yes, Apollos. It says we and the rest of the workers and the rest of the leaders. It says we're workers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Look at verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another builders thereupon. You know what Paul the Apostle is emphasizing here? By the Spirit of God, it says, it is not an isolated ministry, a solitary ministry, an individual that is just running and doing everything all alone. It says, no, we're working together. I laid the foundation, another builders thereupon. It says his ministry as a foundation builder, very important. And then the ministry of other people, building upon that, it says that is very important too. And we cannot separate one from the other. Let him finish his own, I'll come for my own. His own is more important than mine, or mine is more important than his. There's no superiority. And there's no inferiority. And it says, I've laid the foundation, and another builded thereon. But let every man take care. Let every man make sure that he's doing the very best. Let every person have that commitment. Let every person have that faithfulness. Let every person have that yieldedness and that loyalty, that here I am planting. Here I am building. Here I am doing what God has given me to do. And with all my heart, and with all my soul, and with all my mind, with faithfulness, and with dedication, and with sacrifice, and with total commitment. And the other person to you, he says, I am there, I'm an Apollos, I am there, I'm another person, and I am not Paul, I am not Silas, I am not Timothy, I stay in my place, I'm going to build on, and I'm going to add something of value, I'm going to add something profitable to what the others have done, so that as we all build together, as we all come together, the work that comes out of that will be something that will bring glory unto the Lord. That's what the apostle is saying. He says, it's according to the grace of God. The one planting must have the grace of God. The one adding there, watering, must have the grace of God. The one that is starting must have the grace of God. The one that comes after must have the grace of God. The same grace. And we cannot say, his own is very important, his own is very high, so he needs a greater grace. No, everybody needs the grace of God, and the grace is available for everyone. He will grant us the grace. In unity, we're going to have the grace. In fellowship, we're going to have the grace. In love, we're going to have the grace. In commitment and consecration, we're going to have the grace. The same grace available for everyone. Grace available for Paul, that same grace available for you, so that we can all build together, and every man will take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For the foundation, verse 11, can no man lay, and that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build thereupon, upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. It says the testing time is coming, when God will test the motive of our service, when he will test the purpose of our service, when he will test the commitment of our service, when he will test everything that we do, whether it is according to his plan, according to his purpose, according to what is written in the word, according to his perfect will. It says the fire, that's the fire of examination, the fire of testing will test every man's work, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Look at verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, when the fire of testing and the fire of examination, when it tests the work we have done, the work we're doing every time, and in particular now, as we are going to this retreat, the publicity and the prayer and the preparation of the place we're going to use, and everything we put in place as we're going to have this retreat, which is going to be the first of its kind. I said it's going to be the first of its kind. And then you understand that, and you contribute your quota, and you go beyond your quota, and you go beyond what is required, and you contribute even more. Your work will abide in Jesus' name. The fruit will abide in Jesus' name. It says he shall receive a reward. How many are working to receive a reward? I said, how many are working to receive a reward? You will not miss your reward in Jesus' name. Verse 15, if any man's work shall be burnt, look at that. You know, this is something you understand about the inspired writers of the word of God. They are not one-sided. They tell us this side, they tell us the other side. They tell us there are people, their work will abide. There are people, their fruit will abide. There are people that when you consider their loyalty, and you consider their faithfulness, and you consider their consecration from the depths of their heart, transparently, they are offering unto the Lord. And it says their work, their fruit will abide. Then it says, but don't forget, there is the other side. Don't forget, there is the other side of the work, their work being burnt. My work will not be burnt. I said my work will not be burnt. It says, if any man's work shall be burnt, it shall suffer loss. Think about everything collapsing that somebody does when there is no chance to repair, when there is no chance to correct anything, when there is no chance to reconstitute and reconstruct. But he himself shall be saved so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man, this is another category now, number one, those that build with faith, with faithfulness, with love, with loyalty, with consecration, with commitment, with transparency, their work will abide. Others, number two, they live the Christian life. In their own personal lives, they're all right. In their own personal lives, they live straight. They live with that holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. only that their work is not abiding the test of fire. And because of that, everything they build with wood, with hay, with stubble, the testing time will come and the fire will burn it down. But because they still lived in righteousness, they will get to heaven. But no reward. Everything is gone. But now there's a third category. Verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God. It's that third category. He defiles himself, defiles herself as the temple of God. He defiles the church of the living God instead of building together. While we're all building with faithfulness and with loyalty and with transparency, and we're building with all our energy with both hands, he is using his own hand and his own gift and his own ability to tear down and to defile and to destroy. And it says, for such people, if any man, whatever his title is, a pastor, is a prophet, or he calls himself apostle, or he calls himself a leader, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall somebody there tell me? You don't want to read the Bible. Tell me, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. You'll keep your own temple holy, and you'll keep the temple of God, the church of the living God, holy in Jesus' name. Tonight, I'm talking to you on gathering with Christ. Gathering with Christ. Gathering with Christ. That's what we're doing. You're praying for the church, you're gathering with Christ. You're preaching in the church, you're gathering with Christ. You're publicizing this coming retreat, you're gathering with Christ. You're encouraging other people, come along. Something great is happening. You must be part of this. You're encouraging other people, you're gathering with God, gathering with Christ, and you are motivating other people. And they say, I don't have means of transportation. Don't worry about that. Our district will provide that. I don't have means of doing this or doing that. Don't worry about that. There's provision for everyone. Come on, come along. And you're going to be blessed as you motivate other people and you mobilize other people. And then we'll bring all the resources that are needed so that everyone will have opportunity of being there. But when I get there, there's going to be a great crowd. When I get there, there's going to be a kind of a multitude. How about accommodation? Where will I sleep? Don't worry about that. When we get there, just make sure we're in connection together. I give you my number, you give me your number, and I will make sure you get a convenient place to stay. You see, when you do that, motivating other people, mobilizing all the people so we can be there, we're gathering together with Christ. That's what we're talking about now. Gathering with Christ. We're looking at John chapter 10. John chapter 10, I'm reading from verse 16. John chapter 10, reading from verse 16. Another sheep I have, which are not of this fold. You see, there are many people, they think, the church is large enough already. Our membership is large enough already. But you must understand, Jesus died for everyone. He shed his blood for everyone. He suffered and tasted death for every man. And there are people outside there, there are people that have not tasted of the salvation of the Lord. And Jesus said, all the sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also, tell me, them also, say it aloud, them also, say it with confidence, say it as if you are going to help Jesus do it. I must bring. It says, there's no two ways about it. I must bring them, because they are outside. I died for them, I shed my blood for them, and them I must bring. Then he goes on to say, and they shall hear my voice. You are bringing them. On behalf of Christ, you are bringing them. on behalf of the Lord, the head of the church, you are bringing them. He says he wants them there. This period when people are filled with festivities, they want to go to their village, they want to do this, they want to do that. It says there's a compulsory thing to do, and there is an important place to be, and it is at that retreat. And it says, them I must bring. And it says, they will hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. One fold and one shepherd. Three things we're looking at. Number one, the faithful gathering of sheep for the king. He is the king. He is the savior. He is the sanctifier. He is the shepherd. He is the lamb that shed his blood and paid for the transformation, justification, salvation, conversion of the whole world. And he is the one we're gathering the sheep unto. The faithful gathering of sheep for the king. Point number two, the fatal scattering of souls from the kingdom. The fatal, deadly, terrible, painful scattering of souls from the kingdom. There are people already in the kingdom. They're born again. The children of God. And the Lord wants you to be a help. He wants you to show some love. He wants you to show some understanding. And when they are discouraged, encourage them. When it appears they're going through some deep waters, help them so that they can remain in the kingdom. But there are those who scatter. There are those who drive souls away from the kingdom. And that is fatal. And that is deadly. And that is terrible, painful to the king and painful to the Lord. The fatal scattering of souls from the kingdom. Point number three, the final gathering of saints to the King of Kings is coming back again. I said the Lord is coming back again. And is going to gather from the west and the east and the north and the south. Is going to gather us to the heavenly kingdom. Is the King of Kings, and we're going to be gathered unto him. That's the future gathering, that's the final gathering of saints to the King of Kings. And I pray you'll be a part of this in Jesus' name. I said you'll be part of it in Jesus' name. I'm looking at point number one, the faithful gathering of sheep for the king. We're gathering for him. We're gathering on his behalf. And we're bringing souls to him as savior, to him who died for our sins, and to him who gave his life so that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're coming to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, I'm reading from verse 34. John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus says unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And if we're Christians and we're followers of Christ, we need to be like Christ. It's something to get started, but it's something to continue until we finish. And thank God we have started the work of the Lord. We will continue till the very end in Jesus' name. You will not be tired. You will not be weak. And you will not stop halfway journey, halfway of a journey in Jesus' name. He said, this is my meat. He said, this is my desire. He said, this is the thing that really interests me. He says, this is the thing I'm living for. And this is the thing I want to offer to the Lord every time that I'm walking until I finish the work he has given me to do. Now he talks about us. Look at verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. It says the people are ready. have died for them, and the Spirit of God is calling them, the Spirit of God is wooing them, the Spirit of God is inviting them, the Spirit of God is speaking their hearts already, and we are now to go out and we're to walk in collaboration with the Spirit of God, because the field is white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. That's the purpose of the retreat, gathering fruit unto life eternal. It is not just for them to come, I was there, it's good to be there. It's not just for them to say, I was part of the retreat, hope, feasting, after the fasting, I was there, I started with them. It is so that as they come and they hear the word of God, they'll have life eternal. They move from death unto life. They move from darkness unto light, and they will have the real salvation that Jesus died for on the cross of Calvary. It says that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. You see that again, there are those who sow, there are those who reap, and they must unite together. And they must work together. They must be faithful together. And they must assist each other. And they must move on hand in hand, heart with heart together. And then he goes on to say in verse 37, and herein is a saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. One brings them into the kingdom, another does the follow-up. One is preaching, and then they know about Christ the Savior. Another one is counseling, and they want to stay with the Savior. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. All the men labored, and ye are entered into their labor. He wants us to bring them in the faithful gathering of the sheep for the king. We're coming to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, and I'm reading from verse 9. Matthew chapter 22, verse 9. It says, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid them to the marriage. That's the publicity. That's inviting them to come. That's bringing them to the retreat. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found. They gathered together all as many as they found. The people you find under the bridge, the people you find on the street, the people you find at the corners of the street somewhere, and the people you find in your own house, in your own apartment, and the people in your community, people everywhere. You're using all means to call everyone to come, both bad and good, both bad and good. What does that mean in society? There are some sinners that are decent sinners. There are some sinners that are civilized sinners. There are some sinners that are educated sinners. There are some sinners, they appear good, but they're still sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Others are outright bad, outright evil, outright wicked, occultic, wicked, violent, all of them, bring them in. And it says, and the wedding was furnished with guests. The wedding was furnished with guests. But you understand, it's not just inviting them there. There must be the experience of eternal life, and the experience of salvation, and the experience of turning away from their sin and coming to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Verse 11, and when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man that had not on a wedding garment. The robe of righteousness, a wedding garment, and the clothing of salvation, the wedding garment, and the evidence that they have turned away from their sins, and they have washed in the blood of the Lamb, and now they are in Christ. He didn't put that on. He thought, my natural life, that's enough. My natural goodness, that's enough. My natural ability, that's enough. my religion, that's enough. The people who are coming to the retreat that will feel that way. I have my own church, I have my own religion, but I just came here so that I can participate with you. Well, don't allow that. Push them to salvation and preach the word of God unto them, and let them know, except a man be born again, he cannot see and he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 12, and he says unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having the wedding garment? How did you come in here and you're not having the wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For all of us who are preaching, we must make sure we emphasize salvation, emphasize conversion, emphasize the necessity of having eternal life. It's not enough just to be at the retreat. There must be genuine and thorough repentance, and there must be faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they come to the Lord Jesus Christ, they become new creatures in Christ. The real evidence that they know the Lord and there is salvation. Otherwise, if they just come like that, just like this person was there at the wedding, not having the wedding garment, eventually, if they die like that, they're still going to go to hell. Bind him underfoot and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I pray that will not happen to our converts. But you know, we need to gather them in, make them to hear the word of God. When the message, when the message is going on, we ourselves should lead the example and be at the place where the message is being preached. And then if there are those who are roaming about and they're just seeing the campground or whatever, we're appealing to them, come in, come and sit down. They came not to have the sight seen, not just to see what is there. They came so that they can hear the word of God. They will hear the word of God. They respond to the word of God, and they will pray. They will pray after hearing the word of God, because just hearing and hearing and having head knowledge without prayer, without repentance, without a definite act of faith, that will not be sufficient at all. They must have genuine experience of salvation. Luke chapter 14, I'm reading from verse 21. Luke chapter 14, verse 21. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry because there are people that give excuses, said unto his servants, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded. I pray we'll be obedient to the Lord like that. That as he has commanded, publicize, we will do it. Bring in the people, we will do it. Encourage the people to come, we will do it. Make transport arrangement, we will do it. Go to them and knock at their doors in their houses, since they promised to come, and go and remind them. I pray we'll do it in Jesus' name. It is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. See that? It's not just, will you come? Won't it be nice if you came? You've never done something to make me happy. Won't it be nice at this time? Just do this to make me happy. You compel them to come. Give them reasons why they must be there. Give them the advantage of being there. Give them the blessings they're going to have when they come there. Give them the Lord is waiting for them, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. That my house may be filled. They will come. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, I'm reading from verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, And I'm reading from verse 28. Here it says, these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. That's what he says. And we need to go and tell the people, come unto me. Come to him as a savior. Come to him as the light of the world. Come to him as a solution to all the problems of your life. Come unto me, all ye that labor. You have labored, you've tried, you've done this, you've done that, you've gone there, you've gone up and down, and yet no solution. Now solution has come. To the problem of sin, solution has come. To the problem of sickness, solution has come. And to the problem of oppression, solution has come. To the problem of adversity, solution has come. And to the problem of satanic oppression, solution has come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Understand? That rest, that's the reason why they are coming. They must have that rest. It's not just enough to say, I brought them, follow up on them while you are the retreat there. Has he got the rest now? Has he got the restoration now? Has he got the regeneration now? Has he got the renewal now? Has he got the revival now? Has he got the resurrection from the spiritual life of deadness now? I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You tell them the retreat coming to an end is not the end. They must keep on learning and learn of me. And then he goes on to say, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. You will find rest. I said they will find rest in their soul, in their heart, in their spirit. They will find rest in Jesus' name. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. We're looking at John chapter 12. John chapter 12, I'm reading from verse 20. John chapter 12, we're reading from verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came out to worship at the feast. There were certain people that came, they had been invited, and they came. There were Greeks. They didn't have life eternal. They didn't have life everlasting. They didn't have conversion. They didn't have salvation, but they came to worship all the same. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. That's the purpose of coming to the retreat. Sir, we'll see Jesus. Why? Because there's no other name by which you can be saved except the name of Jesus. Sir, we'll see Jesus. Why? Because this is the stone that others have set aside, but he is the corner, the chief cornerstone. Sir, we would see Jesus. Why? It's the way, the only way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. Sir, we would see Jesus. Why? Because he's the only one that can give us grace. Grace to live, and grace to stand, and grace to be who we ought to be. That's why they eventually realize, we've come, we've worshipped, but now we need to see Jesus. Let's make sure that the people we're bringing to the retreat, every preacher will make the people see Jesus. The singers will make the people see Jesus. Our orchestra will make the people see, tell me, Jesus. And our the people who are leading prayer, they make the people see Jesus. And the people who come to pray, who lead us in prayer after we finish the preaching, they'll make us see Jesus. Sir, we would see Jesus. And Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. Again, Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. That's it. They brought them to Jesus. And I pray that will be our own devotion, commitment in Jesus' name. I'm waiting for another amen. Look at Hosea. There's something here. Hosea chapter 10. I'm reading from verse 1. Hosea Chapter 10, reading from verse 1. Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. Think about that. There are some people, they invite people to the retreat, but they make the people attached to them, not to Christ. But it says Israel is an empty vine. Instead of attracting the people to the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they bear the fruit unto themselves. Instead of a disciple leading the people unto Christ, they lead them unto themselves. That should not be. That should not be. We're gathering for Christ. We're gathering for the Savior. We're gathering for the Redeemer. We're gathering for the one that died for them and for us on the cross of Calvary. It says Israel is an empty vine. Why is he empty? Even though he's saying, that's my convert. That's right, your convert. You brought them to yourself. That's my convert. That's right. That's your convert. That's what their lives are, the way they are. They're looking up to you. You're not telling them and showing them how to look up to Jesus. But it says, if we're going to do anything at all, we gather the fruit. We bring the converts and we attach them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you'll be like Israel, an empty vine that bringeth fruit unto himself. Look at verse 2. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. Their heart is divided. Will I attach them to Christ? Or will I tell them, look at me and look unto me and bring them to myself? Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. Look at verse 3. For now they shall say, we have no king because we feared not the Lord. It says, you know, there are people like this, they are just a third there, and all they want to do is to focus attention on themselves and say, you know, I must have this, I must have this, I must have that. And it says, it's like they have no king, they have no leader, and they're not under the leading of any leader because they fear not the Lord. But the Lord is saying things will change at this retreat. And amen over there. Verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. As we're going for the retreat, we need to understand, we'll make it a prayer, not only of preaching, but a time of praying, a time of breaking up a fallow ground, a time of looking back at what our lives have been, what our Christian lives have been, what our Christian professions have been, and all the work we're doing for the Lord, bringing fruit unto ourselves and not unto the Lord, and the fear we didn't have of God. We come to that retreat and we say, I'm going to have the showers of blessing of the righteousness of God. And it says to sow to yourself in righteousness, you reap in mercy, you break up your fallow ground, because this retreat time is the time to seek the Lord until he comes and he rains righteousness upon you. Give me a good amen there. Point number 2 now is the fatal scattering of souls from the kingdom. The fatal scattering of souls from the kingdom. And let's look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, I'm reading from verse 30. Matthew chapter 12, reading from verse 30. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. As we're going to that retreat, and as we come to the regular worship on Sunday, regular worship on Monday, regular worship on Thursday, regular training on Saturday, and regular leadership development on Tuesday, we must make sure that our attitude, our conduct, our disposition is not driving people away from the service. The way we do what we do and the things that are done by individuals. You need to check your life. There's some things that have become like reflex action that take place without even your thinking. But then it drives away other people. And other people, instead of thinking of the word of God, they're thinking, why is that person acting like that? Let's say, for example, we're all praying. And as we're praying, somebody begins to clap and clap and clap. And another person is wondering, why is that person clapping now? And everybody is busy praying and we're lost in devotion unto the Lord. Another time, somebody is leading the prayer. And everybody says, amen. And there's somebody there, a sonorous voice that will prolong the amen. That you will know and even identify the place he's sitting, and other people are wondering, why is that fellow becoming like a rascal in the house of God, and why are they doing like that? At other times, you know, it is we're praying and somebody is waving their hand, that's enough, that's enough, that's enough, and the person who is leading the prayer, who should be led by the Spirit of God, is diverted to that person. What's that person saying? Is that person wanting to be in control so that the Holy Ghost is not in control anymore? It says in verse 30, he that is not with me, he that is not with Christ, is against Christ. And he that is not with the servant of God, as he's giving the word, as he's preaching the word, if he's showing any sign of opposition, any sign of rebellion, any sign of disobedience to everything we've been saying, so that the service can be solemn, that one is not with the people of God. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. There's a danger of scattering souls away from the kingdom of God. And if you're a preacher, and you know, you come to preach, and you know what you are saying, you know what you ought to say, and you're giving out the word of God, you might see some people that no matter what we preach and no matter what we say, they will still do that extraneous thing they're used to doing. Just overlook them and keep on the straight line of the word of God, and keep on preaching the word without fear and without favor. If you mentioned holiness, you mention sanctification, and then somebody who hates sanctification, holiness, and then you react, say it again and emphasize, this is the way to see the Lord. For do peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Let no preacher be shut up by any distracting action, by any distracting voice or dissenting voice. Let's make sure that you are gathering with Christ. And if anybody wants to sway you not to gather with Christ, you will stand your ground. Am I talking to God's people? In that way, you manifest courage, you manifest conviction, and you manifest steadfastness, and you make the people know that even if you're going to die for what you're doing, there's something to die for. You're earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints, and God will help you in Jesus' name. We're looking at Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23, and I'm reading from verse 2. It says, therefore thus says the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people. Look at that. God Almighty, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock. Ye have scattered my flock. That's not what you are called to do. You came in as a preacher, as a pastor, as a leader, and you ought to gather with Christ and gather for Christ. But it says, you have scattered my flock and driven away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, says the Lord. Look up here. Many years ago, before Deeper Life started, I was witnessing. I happened to be teaching in a school. And in that school where I was teaching, I was talking to somebody. And I was talking to him because he came from a particular place where they swap wives. That is, this person will say, this is my wife, you can have my wife. And the other one will say, you can, you know, the community like that. And they take all the women community like that. And I knew him. I knew that's the way he came from. I was witnessing to him and telling him how he will come to know the Lord. And then I have another student. This particular student was just standing by, and I wasn't talking to him. The one I was talking to, he didn't accept, but the one I wasn't talking to, he had everything. I said, and he went, we have some woods in our school. At that time, he went to that place and he prayed and he repented, and everything totally changed for that student. Anytime I was teaching them mathematics, and I got to him, there was a kind of odor coming out. And it was irritating, and I would make fun of him and say, oh, why are you like this, my boy? And this kind of smell is coming out of you. He didn't say anything, but he had venereal disease at that age. He was in form 4 at that time, and so he was not the one I was talking to. And he went into the woods and he prayed. He got saved, and without anybody praying for him, he got healed. He came to the class. The following time I passed by, I couldn't perceive the odor anymore. Something has changed. Real conversion, real life. And then he came near me, and then he told me what had happened. I told him about sanctification. He got sanctified, and then about the Holy Ghost baptism, baptized in the Holy Ghost. He had a shining experience, and he was living far away from the church. We're going at that time, he will walk, he didn't have any money, he will walk for hours and go to the church. He'll be the first person to get to the church. But eventually something happened that he got discouraged. I wasn't living in Lagos then, but he was in Lagos, and he backslid. He went off like that. And then some of us got to know, and then I said, how? I can almost mention his name now. I still remember the name. How could you do this? How could you do this? And he broke down and said he was coming back again. And then he came to the church. The first time he got to the church. Here is my point now. One of our Sunday school teachers, who later became the overseer of that church, when the first overseer passed away, he just saw him and he said, run away, prodigal. What have you come to do again? Okay, welcome. He felt so ashamed. Run away, prodigal. You have come. What have you come to do again? From that day, he never stepped back into church anymore. That pastor drove him away with just one sentence. There are people like that people want to come back, and when they come back, they think that we'll stretch our hands around them and embrace them like the father of the prodigal son. But we don't do that. We say, run away, prodigal. What have you come to do again? That's why the Lord is saying here, I'm against those pastors in the land. Instead of feeding my people, instead of gathering my people, they scatter my flock. And then he goes on to tell them what was going to do, the judgment that was going to come against them. Well, we'll not scatter. You might see people at the retreat. You have not seen them for a long time. Maybe then the church, they just happened not to be in your district and you didn't know. Or maybe they've gone away from the church and now they decide they're going to come. Other people have labored. Other people have prayed for them. Other people have suffered. Other people have visited them. Other people have encouraged them. And now the result of the work of other people is now that they come. And then you're seeing them for the first time. And then they think to come out of your mind is something negative, and then you drive them away. You will not drive people away. I said, you will not drive people away. I will not drive people away. My actions will not drive people away. My utterance will not drive people away. My impatience will not drive people away. I can't hear you now. My jokes will not drive people away. And you know, sometimes somebody comes back and then you say, okay, welcome. What you went for? And you've gone to the mountain, you've gone to the valley. Have you got it now? That's like a dagger in their hearts. And then it's okay if it's like that. I've not got it. Okay, I'll go back where I'm coming from. Don't be like that. Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. I'm reading from verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus says the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Woe be to the shepherds. They're only interested in themselves and they're feeding themselves. Here is my opportunity. Here is my ministry in the church. Here is my chance in the church. Here is what I'm going to protect in the church. And if any other person comes, you know, from the church and is going to be of a helping hand, this is my area. That's what the Lord is saying. And then we push people off. Okay, the church has got to its limit, has got to its ceiling, and they don't need anybody to help in any area anymore. That's not sanctification. Look at verse 5. They were scattered because there is no shepherd. They were scattered because there's nobody to show love. They were scattered because there's nobody to bring them in. They were scattered because there was no shepherd to encourage them. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. We're looking at Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. And I'm reading here from verse 1. Exodus chapter 32. We're looking at it from verse 1. Here he tells us in verse 1. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, because God, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not or what not what has become of him. What should they do? We don't know what has become of Moses. He led them out of Egypt. He made the angel of death to pass over all their houses. He delivered them from the bondage of Pharaoh. And he got them through the Red Sea. And they have been eating manna every day since then. Let's even think something had happened unto Moses. What should we do? We should be praying. What should we do? We should find out. What should we do? We should follow up on him. As for this Moses that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we know not what not, what has become of him. And Aaron said, Aaron said, his senior brother, Aaron said, the high priest, Aaron said, the one that was to be watching over the people in the absence of Moses, Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. That's leading the people of God astray. That is scattering the sheep of the Lord away from the kingdom. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron, and he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel. Can you think about that? These be thy gods, little g, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast unto the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, unto the Lord, and then this be thy gods. There is now a kind of syncretism. Imagine the worship of the true God with the false gods. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people, they're no more my people, they're scattered, they're driven away from the truth, they're driven away from the Lord, they're driven away from true worship. You see, there are people like Aaron. They don't have any backbone. They don't have any conscience. They don't have any proper perspective in the worship of the Lord. And they drive people away from the truth. And the Lord said, go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. There are people that do that. They allow the people to be corrupted, and they corrupt them, and they're not going to stand on the truth that saves, on the truth that sanctifies, on the truth that keeps us holy. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it, and they have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make thee of thee a great nation. Look at verse 33. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever have sinned against me, him will I blot out of my books. Aaron caused all those millions of Israelites to be blotted out of the book of life. He was blotted out until Moses began to intercede. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 9. Deuteronomy chapter 9, the fatal scattering of souls from the kingdom. In Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 16, it says in verse 16, and I looked, and behold, ye had sinned against the Lord your God, and have made you a molten calf, the whole nation. The whole nation, they sinned against the Lord, because an Aaron there could not keep the standard. An Aaron there could not confront them. An Aaron there could not stand his ground. An Aaron there did not have a backbone. Ye are turned aside quickly out of the way which the Lord had commanded you. Look at verse 18. And I fell down before the Lord as at the first, 40 days and 40 nights. I did neither eat bread nor drink water, because I did neither eat bread nor drink water 40 days, 40 nights, because of all your sins, which ye sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure of the Lord, wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you. But the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also. If you're going to gather with the Lord and going to gather for the Lord, you might even have to fast and pray, and you might have to come into the very middle of the situation, atone for the people and preach to the people and plead with the people and bring the people back totally, completely unto the Lord. Look at verse 20. And the Lord was very angry with Aaron. The Lord was very angry with Aaron, the one that supported and encouraged the going away from the Lord, scattering the sheep from the kingdom. Fatal, deadly, terrible, painful and attracted the punishment from God. The Lord was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him. And I prayed for Aaron also at the same time. I pray we will not scatter the flock of God. You will not scatter the flock of God. The souls will be precious to you. The price that Jesus paid for them to be saved will be precious unto you. We're looking at Acts of the Apostles chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. I'm reading from verse 28. Acts chapter 20. We're looking at verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Understand that price. The price of the redemption of the people of God. He purchased them. He purchased us with his precious blood. It says in verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock, scattering the flock, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, of your own selves preachers, of your own selves workers, of your own selves leaders. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away, tell me, talk now, to draw away disciples after them. See, there are people, they're not interested in the Lord having those converts, having those disciples. They're not interested in the shepherd having all the sheep. They want to have the fruit unto themselves. Like we're told in Hosea chapter 10, they want to have the converts unto themselves. And I pray that nobody will win you over to themselves in Jesus' name. Galatians chapter 4, I'm reading from verse 17. Galatians chapter 4, verse 17. They zealously affect you, but not well. Those who scatter, they zealously affect you, but not well. Those who drive people away, they zealously affect you, but not well. Their consecration, their loyalty is to scatter. And all the strength, all the energy they should have employed in gathering together with Christ, they employ that is scattering away from Christ. It says they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they will exclude you that she might affect them. They will exclude you. I will not be excluded. We're coming back to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. I'm reading from verse 23. Luke chapter 11 from verse 23. He that is not with me is against me. He that is not with me, Christ, is against me, Christ. And he that is not with my servant that I sent, it's against my servant that I sent. He that is not with the pastor is against the pastor. He that is not with the gatherer is against the gatherer. He that is not with the one that is preserving and conserving and protecting is against the preservation and the ingathering of the souls into the kingdom. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. I will not scatter. I will gather. Say it aloud. I will gather. We'll gather with the Lord in Jesus' name. Point number three now. The final gathering, the future gathering of saints to the King of Kings. The future gathering, the final gathering of saints to the King of Kings. We're looking at Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49. I'm reading from verse 10. Genesis 49, Verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. That's talking about Christ. And prophetically, Jacob knew that Christ was coming. And he said, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. We're looking at Psalm 72. Psalm 72, I'm reading from verse 8. Psalm 72, reading from verse 8. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea. Amen. And from the river unto the ends of the earth. They shall dwell, they that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and the isles that shall bring presents, the kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him, all nations shall serve him, they will gather unto him. Isaiah chapter 2, I'm reading from verse 2. Isaiah chapter 2, and we're looking at verse 2, talking about Christ. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And as we come to serve the Lord, as we come to this retreat, we want to initiate these people coming to the Lord, getting saved, and then follow them up, getting sanctified, and follow up on them and getting baptized in the Holy Ghost, follow up on them, integrate them with the church, follow up on them when they face persecution. We're there to help them stand until the final day, when they'll be gathered together with the saints of God up on high in Jesus' name. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 2. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountains of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills. Look at this, look at this. And all nations shall flow unto it. All nations shall flow unto it. Ezekiel chapter 21. In Ezekiel chapter 21, reading from verse 27. Ezekiel 21, reading from verse 27. It says over here, I will overturn it, and it shall be no more until he come, whose right it is, and I will give it unto him. There's going to be an overturning during the great tribulation. 3.5 years. Overturn. And then Christ will come. And when he comes, the Father will then make the gathering of the people be unto him. Zechariah chapter 8. In Zechariah chapter 8, we're reading from verse 20. Zechariah chapter 8, reading from verse 20. Thus says the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people, and inhabitants of many cities, and inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. As we're bringing other people, you're not just sending them ahead, go. You say, I will go also. Verse 22, yea, many people and many strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts. Verse 23, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall lay hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. We will go with you. They will come readily with you. I said they will come readily with you. You will turn many to righteousness. Daniel chapter 12, reading from verse 2. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to everlasting shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. Anybody there? I said, anybody there? This will be you in Jesus' name. They that be wise, are you wise or foolish? I said, are you wise or foolish? They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness are the stars forever and ever. That's what he expects us to do. To turn people away from their sin, away from darkness, away from idols, away from occultism, away from Satan, and turn them unto Christ. Turn them unto the Savior. Turn them unto the shepherd and the bishop of their souls. Turn them to righteousness. We will do it. Matthew chapter 11, chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I'm reading from verse 40. Matthew chapter 13. Reading from verse 40. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 40, the word of God assures us on the final day. And as therefore the tares are gathered and burnt in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them out into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. I pray you'll not be there. But look at verse 43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. I have heard. I will obey. I'll not scatter people from the kingdom of God. I'll establish them in the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. I'm reading from verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence. We attended retreat. We attended the meetings. We ate there. We drank there. You see, it's not enough just to come to the retreat. They must be born again. They must be saved. And they must move away. They must move off that, go beyond that, and get sanctified, and have that peace and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. It's not enough, I attended the retreat, I ate there, I drank there. It says, then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye that work iniquity. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. I pray you'll not be thrust out. We're looking at Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. I read from verse 1. Revelation chapter 21. Reading from verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and the Lord himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Amen. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that has a thirst of the water of life freely. He that overcometh, who is that? He that overcometh, is he there today? He that overcometh, where is he? You'll overcome in Jesus' name. Shall inherit how many things? All things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, that's what stops people from overcoming. The unbelieving, that's what stops them from overcoming. The abominable, that's what stops them from overcoming. And the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and all idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. As we bring people to the retreat, you want to understand, they must have the assurance their names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Chapter 22 of Revelation, verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they which do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star, and the spirit and the bright say, and the spirit and the bright say, tell them, let them come. As they come, the Lord will save them in Jesus' name. The spirit and the bright say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The salvation, free. Sanctification, free. Grace, free. liberation free, deliverance free, the blessings of God free. Bring them in, invite them, and let them hear the note of hope. Whosoever will, let him take the blessing of life freely. Let's rise up and talk to the Lord tonight and say, Lord, we've heard your word, and we're going to be obedient to your word. We're going to gather with Christ. We're going to gather with Christ, gathering with Christ. Paul will do his part. Apollos must also do his part. They must work together. We must work together. Why don't you open your mouth and commit your life, commit yourself to the Lord and say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. We're going to work together. No contradiction. No opposition. No going the opposite direction. Faithfully gathering together. By the grace of God, faithfully gathering together. Let him hear you pray. You're too quiet. Tell the Lord, we'll gather together, walk together, cooperate together, serve together, sacrifice together, commit ourselves together to the work of the Lord, faithfully gathering the sheep into the fold of Christ. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them I must bring. He'll use you, your hand, your mouth. I must bring. Join together with Christ with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Don't gather fruit unto yourself. Gather fruit unto Christ. He is the Savior. Point the attention of the people, the heart of the people, unto him, a Savior. He's the one that has the grace, the power, the strength, the enablement to hold unto them and to make them stand. Make a vow you will not scatter. You know, be like Aaron, that will scatter the people from the kingdom, drive them from the kingdom. You know, be like that pastor I spoke about that drove the person God used me to bring to the Lord in my school days by such a negative word. Run away, prodigal, you've come again. Tell the Lord, your attitude, your life, your work, your commitment, your sacrifice will make people want to stay, not to drive people away. And then for the people of God, through the grace that is given unto us, standing, living right until that final gathering of the saints to the King of Kings. Commit yourself. I'll be there. And all these converts the Lord is bringing through the church, they'll be there too on that final gathering day. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be.